We're back on In Focus right here on News Radio KMAN. It's USD 383 morning this morning. I'm Andrew Shores for Kathy Dawes, and we have USD 383 Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade, Board Member Aaron Estabrook, and of course those phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. And gentlemen, before the break, we were talking about all of the community organizations that end up donating a good deal of money to the district, $31,000 in donations last month. And maybe moving on to the not-so-bright side of things, the Kansas legislature. As we learned last month, there's going to be some delayed payments in terms of CAPERS, and maybe even the delayed payments to school the fourth quarter payment to school districts may also be delayed. And my question is, what is that really going to mean for districts if those fourth quarter payments are delayed?
Well, I think that we have to learn a little bit more what that delayment means. Right now, as I understand the CAPERS, is just so everyone is clear, the CAPERS funding comes into our accounts for about 2 seconds. You know, the district level does not have control of that, even though for quite some time the state and the governor thought to include that in district level funding and said that was part of our funding. And although we don't have any real say over that, that comes in and goes right out. But the problem there is the freeze on that for fiscal year 2016 is spread across quarter three and four, and that's about an $85.9 million reduction. Also, extraordinary needs is a $13 million balance, and that's going to be kept by the state to help them fill this $500-plus million hole that they've created in their budget. And the final general state aid payment, which you mentioned, is delayed, and it's going to be similar to what we had to experience in the past, I think, and it's delayed by $75 million. So we have some real challenges ahead to make sure that we don't lose those programs or have to cut back on certain things. But in the past, we've been resilient going through that.
And that's part of that process I mentioned earlier about working in this year and next year and making plans. We have budgets that were tight in the first place, but now we've made a decision a while back, really during this year, to try to reduce our spending in every area we can, anticipating that we were going to get hit with this. So we're being as frugal as we can be while still, you know, going back to that conversation we had earlier about we want high expectations. We want to give the very best we can to our kids, and yet we have to be fiscally responsible. So we're watching every dollar, making the reductions where we can, and trying to make them as far from the classroom as possible. But it is tight, and we do it. We've planned for the state to come in and tell us they're not going to give us all the money they said they would, which there's an aspect of irresponsibility there that when budgets are built, we ought to be able to trust the fact that those commitments can be honored. But that's not happening in Kansas.
Well, and the legislature they spent a lot of money putting together this survey, right? They had a contractor come in and recommend ways to cut costs. And wasn't one of those recommendations getting all the school districts in the state under the same health insurance plan, for example?
Right. And, you know, there's still an ongoing debate how that would be implemented, how that would, if it was even possible to kind of mandate that, and how that would affect people maybe in the Wichita area or the Johnson County area or different places that have real strong health. They have hospitals there. They have health pools of their own. Would they really buy into a statewide plan? Because if they don't, that leaves a lot of us hanging, and they don't really potentially don't have the incentive to do it, where maybe Manhattan, maybe our district might have a little bit of incentive right now to be part of a pool. But in the past, we've also been able to offer through negotiations, you know, some good insurance incentives. And that's something that we want to take care of our employees and make sure we have some control over that process, because we want to make sure that they get the insurance that they need and we can attract and recruit teachers and staff to do that.
And this isn't even a case of would Manhattan benefit or not. We don't know if it was a statewide health insurance plan, if we'd be on the good side or the bad side of that deal.
Right.
But I know that the Education Committee, if they're not discussing it now, they'll be doing it soon. about Governor Brownback's budget included, I think it was if we consolidated health care across the state in education, I believe it was limiting to education, that it'd be a $40 million savings the first year and $80 million savings in the next year based on the projections from that study. So now the Education Committee is going to be looking at, I guess, the realities of
right.
what that would entail.
And I just want to add, every time we hear this is coming from the governor's perspective or the legislator's perspective that there's savings, those may be additional costs for local taxpayers to foot the bill. That's not necessarily a savings to Manhattan residents if we're going to fill that gap back in. It's a cost to us potentially. So I think we have to be careful about using that language of savings. It's a savings to fill a gap in the budget for that was a problem they created.
And the same kind of thing with the proposal of I think it's called procurements, where purchases by school districts would need to be made from, it'd be like a list of vendors that are approved statewide, and every school district would have to make purchases from that list. And with the idea that there would be savings just because of the sheer volume involved.
Right. Right.
Well, and I recall from the last meeting, it was either you, Mr. Estabrook, or Mr. Reed, who spoke about by forcing school districts under the same plan across the state. I mean, you're kind of removing the freedom of choice in a way, just because
the
USD 3D3 has prioritized other things ahead of its healthcare plan in order to, you know, better fund the schools, programs.
It flies directly in the face of local control, mm-hmm. and a lot of our state history has been centered on giving education and educators and school boards local control, and the community members local control over the direction and how much they want to invest. When the people in Topeka take that away from us, it's not very, it doesn't sit well, and it's really hypocritical of some of the things that we've had in the past.
And we recognize that there is a shortfall in the revenues. We know that, and it is significant. It has been significant every year for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
So we recognize that piece. There's some other proposals on the table that are more palatable to us.
Sure.
Well, I know tonight we're going to hear from Lou Faust. Of course, he's always paying very close attention to a lot of those numbers, and always amazed by the amount of knowledge within that man's head. The numbers are just probably constantly spinning. But
right.
I know there's probably quite a bit of great stuff ahead these next few weeks within USD 383 schools. I see you have a winter play coming up here 2 weekends from now, and
sure.
You recently had some basketball teams compete in McPherson, plenty of great events.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll go through some of our announcements. The district is currently working on a long-term facilities plan. That's something that is a big deal for our vision going forward, and I want to remind everybody on Thursday, February 2nd at 6 p.m. in the Little Theater at MHS, they will be holding a community feedback meeting. So we want those community members, those that have these ideas and have concerns or a vision for our district, we want them to be involved, and they need to come down to the Little Theater on Thursday, February 2nd at 6 p.m. Also, the middle and high school parent-teacher conferences are next week. Those are always fun. We want to see 100% turnout from our parents. And AMS and EMS conferences are Monday and Wednesday from 3 to 7. MHS conferences are Wednesday and Thursday from 4:30 to 8. Everybody remember there's no school on Friday, February 10th and Monday, February 13th. And as you mentioned, the exciting winter homecoming is coming up on February 6th. So watch the USD 383 website to get details on that. And there's much going on that is very positive. And although the dollars and the budgets we have to look at and the cuts that we see coming mid-year, those affect us, but it doesn't stop us from trying to provide the best quality education or the opportunities that we see. And we thank those community members who also fill that hole through the donations.
And we're continuing to work with the businesses, continuing to work with the state whenever we can to find matching grant opportunities that maybe other districts are not taking advantage of, that by us being vigilant, we can just keep moving forward like we've been doing.
Well, it's 9:34 here at News Radio KMAN. It's been a pleasure having USD 383 Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade in with us this morning, as well as Board Member Aaron Estabrook. You can hear more about their meeting tomorrow morning on the KMAN Morning News. Coming up next, we'll have Dr. Ernie Mitten right here on InFocus.